Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Stop. Before you consider taking drastic measures to lose weight, like GLP-1 injections, consider Golo. Golo's release is easier than injections and fad diets. No need to jump through insurance hoops. It's simple. You take one release supplement with each meal. Golo's release supplement contains 7 natural plants and 3 key minerals that target body fat and combat the stress of dieting. With Golo, you follow the Golo for Life plan, where you'll safely and effectively control sugar cravings and hunger while minimizing muscle loss, allowing you to feel good and inspired to reach your goal weight. With Golo, you get an effective and affordable weight loss solution that's clinically proven. Because controlling glucose, maintaining healthy insulin levels, and saying goodbye to starvation dieting is the secret to lasting weight loss and wellness. Visit Golo.com to get started today. That's Golo.com. Go to Golo.com to join the 5 million people who have switched to Golo as a better way to lose weight. Visit Golo.com today.
Hello and welcome everybody to Take the Black Live, the only show on the internet that discusses such daring topics as unicorns, space lasers, robots, dragons, and all those other things that my co-editor Dan Selke usually says here. Hi, my name is Daniel Roman. I'm one of the editors for winteriscoming.net, and I'm so excited today to be joined by Natalie Zamora, head of fan-sided entertainment and genre movie and TV buff extraordinaire. Natalie, how are you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be here. How are you doing today?
I am psyched because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Great to see everybody in the chat. Hi there, fantasy fan. Excited for the Rings of Power season 2. Dragonheart 613 sounds a little less excited in the chats. So that is a question we're going to talk about today. Is the Rings of Power premieres tomorrow. We've seen some of it, or I've seen some of it, and we're going to talk about it, as well as a bunch of other things. So should we get right into the topics? You have anything you want to say in this opening salvo here?
No, I'm excited and think we should get right into it.
Okay. So since this is a, you know, named after Game of Thrones, we always start with Game of Thrones stuff when we can. And today, we've got some interesting ones. So George R. R. Martin, the author of A Song of Ice and Fire, has been making a lot of public appearances lately. We went over a bunch of this stuff last week, but there was another one this past weekend. He was at BuboniCon in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and also his speech at Oxford that he gave in early August is now online. You can find it on YouTube. You can watch the whole thing. So we wanted to touch on just a couple of those things. So first up, this is from the Oxford talk, and it's about the sea snake. You're familiar with this series, right, Natalie, the sea snake?
Yes. That I feel like it's been one of those that's been in development for some time now, whatever that means.
Yeah. So they announced, or whoever announced, I don't remember exactly how the story broke, that they have like 7 different spinoffs in development right now for Game of Thrones at HBO. But the Sea Snake is one that's been talked about a bit more. It was also called The Nine Voyages. So it's about Corlys Velaryon, who's played by Steve Toussaint in House of the Dragon, his younger years where he basically became like the most famous sailor in the world and went all over the globe to Karth and Yeti and Ashai by the Shadow and all this stuff. So Martin talked about how this is now an animated show. Originally, it was not. So I'm just going to read this quote that we have from him, which he, this is from Oxford. You can go watch him say this stuff. Some of the animated shows I think would be really, really good, he said. One of the shows we've been working on for a couple of years is a prequel about the sea snake, Corlys Velaryon, and his nine epic voyages. He was like the Magellan of Westeros, and we call it Nine Voyages or the Sea Snake. And we developed that as a live action for a couple of years. And then we realized that there's no way that we could ever afford to make it live action. It all takes place at sea and he visits a different city every week. And so we'd have to be creating Karth and Braavos and Ib and whatever, but we could do it animated. So we're now developing that to be an animated show if we can get it going. So my question for you, Natalie, and for all of you out there is, would you watch an animated sea snake show?
I mean, yeah, I would watch it. I don't know what my expectations would be. Nothing against animation at all. It's just not my go-to genre. So yeah. I feel like obviously people would rather have it live action, but I appreciate the self-awareness here because I know we've talked a lot about House of the Dragon. Like, can they even afford to portray the Dance of the Dragons?
Yeah.
So I think if they started to do something like this and then had to change it dramatically because of budgetary reasons, people would be pissed.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if it was like, yeah, the nine voyages and he visited like two cities in a season or so, like the whole season is just him on a green screen ship or something, like people would be pretty sad. So it is interesting, though. Like, I like animation, but I feel like it's hard when there's like a live action series that also has an animated component to like give them equal weight, I guess. Yeah. You know, like The Witcher is going to have or has had this too because they had that Nightmare of the Wolf movie. Yeah. They have another one coming up this year, Sirens of the Deep. And it's like, are people just going to care about that the same amount that they care about the live action shows? And I think right. That's a big question. I'll be curious.
Yeah, I'm sure like the quality would be good, but just knowing animation, again, that's not how I feel, but I think that it just wouldn't reach the same audience.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think looking at a show like Scavenger's Reign kind of makes that point a little bit too, because I haven't seen Scavenger's Reign, but I've heard from a lot of people whose opinions I trust that it's an excellent show and HBO already canceled it. There's some interesting comments I wanted to touch on, though. So Benjack says, Blue Eye Samurai convinced me I could be invested into a well-made animated show. Hard agree. Blue Eye Samurai is great. And I think Martin has talked about how he really liked that, too. So I think something in that vein would work really well for Westeros. Chris also says they should do Old Valyria in animation. I think that's a cool idea. That's another one where it's like, I don't know how they'd afford to have 100 dragons on screen at any given time. So maybe animation is the way.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to a couple of other quick things that he said. So these next quotes are from Bubonicon, which is apparently a convention that takes place in New Mexico that's named after the bubonic plague. So they have a good sense of humor in New Mexico. This was not recorded, but people took to Reddit to kind of talk about it after they saw him. He did like a panel. The panel was just him talking about what's been going on in his life, basically. But there were two kind of quotes I wanted to bring up from that. So the first one is, you know, it's always a question like, why is the Winds of Winter taking so long? Is he even writing it? And basically he talked there about how much pressure he is feeling and how much he's thinking about his legacy and stuff like that, and how that is making the writing of it more difficult. And so this is a quote from a Redditor. So this is not direct from Martin. Take these things with a grain of salt, but more than one person has said pretty much the same thing. So I think this is probably pretty accurate. They said, Martin talked about visiting Tolkien's grave and being struck by all the memorials left behind by fans. He said he dreamed of leaving such a legacy, but worried that he wouldn't if he didn't finish writing the books. He also said that he thinks of his characters as his children, like all authors do, and that he really wanted them to outlive him. What do you think about this? Like, do you think it would change his legacy in a meaningful way if he didn't finish them?
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Are you struggling with weight loss? Scared of getting the shot? Golo is a better way to lose weight. No prescriptions or insurance required. Just take one Relief supplement with each meal and follow the Golo for Life plan. Golo's Relief contains 7 natural plants and 3 key minerals to target body fat and combat the stress of dieting. Golo is clinically proven to work and safely and effectively controls sugar cravings and hunger while minimizing muscle loss, so you feel good and inspired to reach your goal weight. Stop going with the latest fad starvation diet. Stop depleting yourself and robbing your body of energy. Start living your best life today. Golo is effective and affordable, so before you consider drastic measures like the fad diets and new weight loss injections with potentially dangerous side effects, including significant muscle loss, learn more about Golo at Golo.com. Again, that's Golo.com. Join the 5 million who have already made the switch to Golo today. Visit Golo.com. That's Golo.com.
Hi there, my name's Aaron Matek.
And I'm Katie Halper.
And we are Useful Idiots, the irreverent politics podcast calling out corporate politicians and their media stenographers.
Here, no one is safe from our ridicule. A wise journalist once said that all news can fit into the 4 basic food groups of news.
The 4 food groups are Democrats suck, Republicans suck, isn't that weird, and isn't that terrible. Each week, we deep dive on one news story from each category, covering the 2024 election, America's endless proxy wars, and so much more.
Plus, we host weekly interviews with politicians, journalists, writers, rock stars, comedians, and more.
Past guests include Noam Chomsky, Roger Waters, Abby Martin, Noor Erekat, Oliver Stone, Bernie Sanders, and David Cross.
So ditch corporate media and learn what's really going on in the world with Useful Idiots. New episodes drop every Friday wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes and no. I think it's like you're always going to have those, sorry to offend anyone, but annoying fans who are just like, insensitive and just write them off because the book hasn't come out yet. But then, of course, there will be more diehard understanding fans that I think would even it out a little bit of thinking like, obviously we want the story to end, but if it doesn't, they were still great books and he was still a great person. So I think there would be a mix. I think it is interesting, like the pressure of everything, because that's the only thing I could think of why it is taking so long. It's just like, obviously there's got to be immense pressure. He saw how the ending of Game of Thrones went. So yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's almost like the real life saga of writing these books is kind of mirroring the issue of like Thrones, like sticking the landing a little bit. Like, how much will that change how people think of it if he doesn't finish them or something like that? And it bugs me. It almost feels a little unfair to think of it that way, because like, no matter how many more books George R. R. Martin writes, like say he writes everything he wants to, he's going to finish A Song of Ice and Fire. He'll write Fire and Blood too, whatever. I'm an eternal optimist. We'll see how it goes. But even if he did all that, the majority of the work of his career is behind him. Like, no matter how you slice it, like most of his quote unquote legacy is already done.
Yeah.
So it is interesting thinking about that kind of pressure for basically like the last few things he's trying to get done in his career.
Yeah.
I totally can jive with that. I hope, you know, that the pressure lightens up basically.
Yeah.
So another one, it's interesting. So Chris in the chat said, lots of dragons cost lots of money. Martin also did talk a little bit about House of the Dragon, speaking of dragons. Basically, and this comment has now been deleted from Reddit. So again, with a grain of salt and everything, but I did see someone ask about this in the chat. He basically hinted at like disagreements with the House of the Dragon showrunners about the second season. So this is a quote, secondhand quote, but that he basically said, House of the Dragon season one was great. Season two, I'm going to write a blog post about that. My question for you, Natalie, about this is, do you think it is in bad form for him to write a blog post, or would you want to read his thoughts about things he maybe didn't feel great about in House of the Dragon season two?
I'm too curious. Like, I gotta know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is it in bad taste? No, unless it's like a personal attack, which I fully don't think it would be. But if there are some issues that he had, I'm very curious. And if they are the same that we had, that would feel good as a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, all the upset people about Daemon Targaryen being at Harrenhal for like six episodes straight would be like, I'm vindicated. It's such an interesting thing because I've seen a lot of people get angry about this. Like, oh, he's a producer. He shouldn't badmouth the show. And I think I had that response with Brandon Sanderson with The Wheel of Time. But that was like almost a different situation because it was like Sanderson's first watch of The Wheel of Time. Like,
yeah.
It's not that he shouldn't be talking things he has problems with. It was kind of the nature of the way he did it felt really disrespectful.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's nothing wrong with a creator discussing things they had issues with in an adaptation. I think a lot depends on how they go about it. I'm hopeful that Martin is savvy enough. You know, he's been at this whole writing and TV game for a long, long time. So I'm hopeful that he is savvy enough that he'll do it in a respectful manner. And yeah, Nicole, hashtag Team Curious for sure. But yeah, that's the gist of the Martin stuff that we've got to talk about this week. Not a whole lot, but a few important updates. You have anything else you want to say about that, Natalie, before we move on to the main event, the Rings of Power?
Other than now you and George are besties. No, I'm good.
Yeah, I am a little biased after meeting him. I'm like, give the man the time he needs and the space. Robert Harris on Facebook says, I do think not finishing the series would hurt his legacy. And like, I agree with that. I do think, you know, like he said, it's unfair, but it's true. I think there is truth to that. I think he is probably pretty aware of that. So I'm just going to cross fingers and hope that that all goes to plan, because doesn't everything. But yeah, so moving on from George R. R. Martin from Westeros, obviously the big fantasy news that we have to talk about is that this week and tomorrow, actually, or really late tonight, depending on how bad your sleep schedule is, The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power premieres the first three episodes of its second season. And since the embargo lifted on talking about this stuff today, we can talk about it a little bit and kind of give you guys some opinions. So Natalie, you haven't seen The Rings of Power yet, right?
Not all of it. I watched maybe like half of the first season. And to be honest, there wasn't like, so I have not read the books. I'm not like deep into the lore. Yeah. So I didn't have any like problems with the changes and things like that. When you guys told me about it, I was like, that sounds kind of stupid, but that wasn't really my issue. My issue was I just thought it was slow and not really going anywhere. And I just like wasn't interested. And I think I associate just the name Lord of the Rings with the movie so much because that's just what I know, that that kind of like magic, it just didn't have it to me. And I just was like, I don't want to taint like this idea that I have based on this one trilogy, basically.
Yeah, totally. I think it's interesting. I feel like a lot of people have that. Like I mentioned the Rings of Power to my partner earlier and I called it Lord of the Rings. And she was like, oh, like, don't call it that. Cause that makes me think of the movies and the books. And I just don't associate the Rings of Power with that yet. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really fair personally. Like, so I have read The Silmarillion. I've read all of The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, obviously. But I will not lie, and Tolkien fans, don't at me. I did not love The Silmarillion. I've heard it's much better on a second reading, but it is very dry and biblical, and it's just that's just not my bag. But it's still interesting. It's still lyrical and Tolkien and all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of in a similar boat almost to what you said, where I'm not really judging the Rings of Power on like its fidelity to some appendices and like things like that. Like I just want it to be a good show, you know, and be entertaining.
Yeah.
So I have seen a few episodes of this second season. Let's put it this way. I don't think it is really going to change people's minds if they hated The Rings of Power season one. Like it still feels very much like the same show that has maybe improved in some ways, but it's still a little inconsistent. Like I've seen the first couple of episodes of season two, and the first one I thought was just okay. The second one was pretty good. And that has me a little curious for how this season will be. Cause the first season felt inconsistent to me too, where there were some episodes I loved and some episodes where they didn't really feel like they moved the story along in interesting ways. Like it seemed like the Rings of Power had issues like with minutia stuff, like getting from point A to point B in interesting ways rather than like the big story they were telling. So it seems like the Rings of Power season two is it's a more confident show. The sets are incredible. Like the sets it's a little dependent on CGI in my opinion, in a way that I don't necessarily think is in its best interest, but overall it's wonderful to look at. I think a lot of the characters are really fun. And I think people who enjoyed season one or who were maybe even like a little tepid on season one, will probably really like this season, or it could grow on them. But I think the hater's going to hate. So I curious for you. So you didn't finish season one.
No.
What would it take to get you to watch season two? Like what would change your mind enough that you would check out season two?
I think really just word of mouth, their reviews, people saying like, no, it's really worth watching. I feel like with season one, even though, I mean, I thought season one got generally positive reviews, but if people were saying like the second season's way better, or I don't know, I feel like at this point I would probably just say like, I already gave it up. But I know this morning I went on my computer and I saw so many negative reviews. Variety, the headline that
they were harsh.
Ooh, I was like, Jesus Christ. So people are probably being maybe too harsh about it, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm like, I could probably watch it, but do I really want to, you know, am I racing to see what happens next? No.
I'm so curious. I'm at headline now.
It's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So this headline. Yeah. The Rings of Power makes the Lord of the Rings a boring slog and a lifeless season two. Damn, Variety. The Independent, like a mirthless roller coaster ride, rarely fraught with any tension. So I think those are too harsh. Based on what I've seen, and again, I have not seen the whole season yet. I'm hoping to watch the whole season ahead, and we can talk about it broad strokes a little more next week. But I think those are too harsh. I think this is pretty similar to what we saw in season one, except a little bit better, because season one had so much of a who's Sauron and is he around?
Yeah.
And there were really only so many people Sauron could have been. So like it kind of worked and kind of didn't. Season two, you know, we know who Sauron is, and it is so much more interesting watching Charlie Vickers as Sauron scheme and lie to people's faces like constantly. And all those sorts of things are way more interesting than when he was basically like pretending to be Aragorn Prime or whatever, where he's like, I'm a king of a human kingdom. That seems like a thing people who watch a show like this would believe. you know, so I think some of the actors are really doing great work. I love the people who play Disa and Durin the Fourth, who are like, they're a dwarven married couple, and they're wonderful every single time they're on screen. The show is just like a notch better because they're so enjoyable to watch. So yeah, I think, you know, hello, everybody in the chat says, I couldn't finish season one. It was complete garbage. And if that is your opinion, you will also likely think season two is complete garbage. But if you even kind of liked it, I think I really think those reviews are too harsh, because it's kind of like, what are you expecting? Like so Dan Selke, who's normally here on this show, he published some early impressions of The Rings of Power season two on winterscoming.net today. And he said something I really agree with, which was just going into it, he was able to set his expectations better because he had seen season one. And I think that's really fair. Like, this is not an instance like The Wheel of Time season two, where there is going to be, I think, such a leap in quality that I'm like, this is going to bring on new viewers to this show.
Right.
Like, people who hated season one could come around on it in season two. I don't know if The Rings of Power is going to be that, but I think it seems like an interesting, good addition to the show. And I think it's doing a lot of things better than season one. The music is really good. It's Bear McCreary, who he's done so much stuff. Battlestar Galactica and Black Sails and Outlander. He's doing the music for it, and I think his music is a little better than season one. So I'm curious to see what people think of this. You know, Robert Harris says, The Rings of Power is one show I've been meaning to start. This is a good time to start it, because you can go right into season two. But yeah, I'm curious to see if those reviews hold. You know, if people watch it and they're kind of like, this was a little overreactive.
Right. Yeah. Especially from people that liked season one, like, will they like season two? I feel like that's what really matters. Cause if you're saying you hated season one, you'll probably hate season two. Then it's like, okay, that's probably not the review that matters so much.
Exactly. Yeah. There's this thing with a lot of reviews where it's like, I didn't like this, and therefore it's bad. And it's like, well, to some extent, were you the audience for this in the first place? If you hated it so much on premise that you couldn't even enjoy season one. So it's, that's always a tricky balancing act. But yeah, I'm curious to see what everyone says about Rings of Power season two. Fantasy fan says, it's good to know that the people who did enjoy season one will enjoy season two. And yeah, I think, I know you've said in the chat before, Fantasy fan, that you liked season one. You're probably going to like season two. There's some cool stuff. There's some really good interplay with different characters. There was one other thing I was going to say about this. I think it's going to be interesting to see like the end of season reception to this, because I don't think this show is going to have the same issue as House of the Dragon season two. So House of the Dragon had 8 episodes, and like, I don't know what your opinion is on this, but I felt like it was pretty obvious it would have benefited from like 2 more episodes.
Yes.
You felt that way too?
Yeah, absolutely. At least one more.
Yeah. Totally. It felt like they kind of just ran out of space. Like it felt like a writer's strike season, even though that's not why they had cut the episode count before the strikes. But it reminded me of like, you know, the season of Lost that aired during the writer's strike, where it was like obviously shorter, or Heroes season two. They like cut like half of what they had planned off. So this is a little bit of a spoiler. So if you really want to avoid spoilers for Rings of Power season two, close your ears for a second. This is something I have heard online, and I think is pretty obvious from the source material and pre-season interviews and stuff, which is basically that the Siege of Eregion is supposed to happen this season. And that is like lore-wise, like a really big turning point for the elves, where one of their most beautiful cities on Middle Earth like comes under siege by orcs and Sauron and all that stuff. And I've heard that that is planned to be at least like episode seven-ish, but that it could, the whole set piece could span like part of episode six, episode seven, part of episode eight. So it sounds like they're really banking on a big ending with this season, which is kind of like the opposite of like that's when I think of House of the Dragon, like that's kind of where it went wrong, was that the ending was just kind of like, and you'll have to tune back in 2 years to see what happens next. And I'm hopeful Rings of Power will avoid that issue based on what I've seen and heard.
Yeah, no, that sounds exciting. I think even if there's issues with a full season, if it ends with a bang and people like it, that's what they'll remember the most about it. So.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it makes a big difference. You know, we're all semi-traumatized Game of Thrones people here. So like, if there's one thing we all know about, it's the ending does make a difference. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, The Rings of Power season two, the first three episodes drop tonight at midnight Pacific time. So that is 3 a.m. Eastern time. Tonight or tomorrow morning, August 29th. So they'll be out soon. And then it's one a week every week after that. So come back next week, everybody in the chat. Let us know what you think of it. We're so curious to hear your opinions. But beyond that, there is a lot of other stuff coming up. And I am curious what you're most looking forward to, Natalie, out of the fall TV and movies and all that kind of stuff, because I think you like a lot of horror and stuff like that. So I feel like you always have interesting recommendations about what's coming up and stuff like that. So I'm just going to put the question out there. What are you looking forward to watching in the next like month or two?
Yeah, I'm really excited for horror coming out. I feel like in August, I'm just over the hot weather and I'm like, I'm just ready. So I declared it Halloween already. Like it's just, it's happening. So I'm not waiting until September to break out all my Halloween stuff. But yeah, there is one movie coming out next week, which is Beetlejuice, which is very, very highly anticipated for me, because I am a huge fan of the original. And the cast is back, and we also get Jenna Ortega and Willem Dafoe and just like the best people ever. So I'm really, really excited. If it's bad, I might cry.
It's such a, you know, it's such a tricky thing with legacy sequels, because it's like I always want to get excited, but we've been burned a lot of times. So it makes me happy to hear that you're excited for Beetlejuice. Like I'm hopeful that it will be good, because you're right, they do have the original cast back. They've got a bunch of good new actors in there. I just hope that it, you know, it is a good movie, which like what a thing to hope. I just hope this movie that comes out is good and it's not going to go the Borderlands route, which the Borderlands movie came out and has apparently like bombed horrifically and is already on streaming in like 2 days. It's been out less than a month. Okay. So Beetlejuice sounds like a big one for you. Any others you're looking forward to?
There are some in going into like October. There are a couple other horror movies. I'm very excited for the sequel to Smile, which is, I've seen like the teaser trailer for it and it looks good. I loved the first one. It was like a surprising love because I didn't know much about it. And that one I'm really excited for. Terrifier 3 comes out. I'm going to watch it. Am I excited for it? No, but it's just
you need
something
those
too. I have to. Unfortunately, I will have to watch it.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming out. I know Speak No Evil. Have you heard anything about that movie with James McAvoy?
Yes, and I will not be watching it.
Really? Okay, why? Yeah. Why? I don't know very much about this except that the marketing started like suspiciously late for it. Why? Yeah. Why are you not going to watch it?
I am sad because I saw the trailer in theaters and was like, damn, that looks kind of good. But I won't be watching it because it's just American remake of a movie that came out 2 years ago. That was awesome. And I just don't understand. It's a Danish movie that, yeah, came out in 2022. I thought it was really, really good. And then a few months later, it was like, all right, James McAvoy, let's do the American version, which I just don't really feel like giving them money is the gist of it.
Yeah, I think that's so fair. I am personally very much in that camp too, where it's like a remake of a good movie that was in a foreign language like a couple years ago, like just remaking it into English. I'm like, that kind of makes me cringe a little, which is too bad because like I like James McAvoy, like on premise I want to support that movie, but I totally feel what you're saying about not wanting to give money to support that kind of a remake.
It really annoys me. Just I think the whole like not watching foreign movies or subtitles always bothers me. But also, it just came out. I watched it on Shudder. It's probably still on there. So if you're a horror fan, you probably have Shudder. Like, just watch the original.
Yeah, totally. there are some other things coming out movie wise. So the two others that I have on my radar, and honestly, I don't know for sure if I'm going to see any of them. I'm just going to hope Alien Romulus stays in theaters long enough that each time I think about going to see another movie, I can just go see Alien Romulus again instead.
There you go.
So Joker Falea Duh, the sequel to The Joker, is coming out on October 4th. And the third Venom movie, Venom the Last Dance, is out on October 25th.
Yes.
the one I wanted to ask you about is The Joker. Did you see the first one of those?
Yes, I saw the first one and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good movie. So I'll watch this one. I don't like musicals, so that's my drawback here. And I think it's hilarious that like every movie now, even the Wicked movie, they hide that it's a musical in the trailer. Yes. It's just such a funny tactic to me. It's like, then just don't make, I don't know, whatever. But
yeah, totally.
I'm going to see it, definitely.
Yeah. So I did not see the first one. So I don't know if I'm like, I like Lady Gaga. She could maybe get me to go see this movie, but like, I didn't really care about the first one very much. But I do think it is hilarious the way they have danced around like the musical thing, because that is so on point what you just said about studios trying to like not admit that it's a musical. Because I saw a quote from Todd Phillips, the director, where he basically talked about how like it's not a musical. He just has a hard time expressing himself, so he does it in song. And it's like, that's what a musical is, dude.
Yeah, just break out in song. That's what it is.
Yeah, Wonka was like that too, where they didn't say Wonka was a musical. And then you see it and it's like, this is like he's singing like a solid third of this movie. Like it's kind of a musical. And that was really good, surprisingly good. I had very low expectations for Wonka and I went and saw it with my nieces and I enjoyed it a lot.
It's cute.
Yeah. So Nicole says you're either a horror person or a musical person. I don't like musicals either. The ghost. Yeah. maybe there's some truth to that. So Joker's walking an interesting line, 'cause I feel like it is a dark, gritty movie, but also a musical. So we'll see how that goes.
I thought the trailer looked good. I was impressed by it. There's something about... Yeah. So I really liked the first movie, but I think it's like that aura of like film bros. Like something about it turns me off. So I think like in the years since, I haven't been like, oh, I can't wait to see the sequel. But then I watched trailer and it was like, no, that looks solid. I'll be watching it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I could kind of see what you mean. So there's another quote from Todd Phillips that has been making the rounds this week about Harley Quinn. So not really a spoiler here. Lady Gaga plays Harley Quinn, the Joker's love interest in this movie. And he said, the high voice, that accent, the gum chewing, and all that sort of sassy stuff that's in the comics, we stripped that away. We wanted her to fit into this world of Gotham that we created from the first movie. And that's getting a lot of, like, you know, typical fandom blowback where people are saying, like, that's who the character. You're basically saying, you know, the stuff that makes the character, we didn't really like that. So this is our take on it. So the like film bro attitude that you mentioned, like, I can kind of see that. And like that kind, like, that's the kind of reasoning I could see appealing to the film bros, I guess. But, you know, I will always give Lady Gaga the benefit of the doubt. I'm hopeful that it's going to be good. But yeah, not too excited. So Alien Romulus, stay in theaters so I can go see you instead.
Exactly.
There's some other shows that are coming out. Fantasy fan said, I'm excited for the Joker and Agatha too. So Agatha All Along is the next, and I think one of the only Marvel shows to come out this year, aside from Echo, I think, and X-Men 97. Yeah, so that comes out on September 18th. That's a WandaVision spinoff starring Katherine Hahn. I think also might be a musical, or at least have some music in it.
Something like that. But it's
Yeah, so my question for you is, do you care? Do you care about Agatha All Along? Because I feel so indifferent about it, and that's a little unfortunate.
Yeah, I think the only reason I would probably watch it is just kind of like background, like horror Halloween-y vibes, like just get that aesthetic going. I actually really did like WandaVision, and you know, I'm not a big Marvel person at all, but I did like WandaVision. So this has like more appeal to me than most Marvel shows. But at the end of the day, I got rid of Disney Plus, so I'm probably not going to watch it.
Same. Yeah, I canceled it after The Acolyte. So I feel that. you know, I liked WandaVision a lot. I feel like it is, again, it is just such a testament to where we are with things like Marvel and Star Wars that like seeing them coming out almost fills me with disgust a little bit. And like, that's a shame, because like, I love those franchises, and like Deadpool and Wolverine was great. So hopefully Agatha strikes that balance. I hope it makes fans happy. But I know I personally will not be gunning to see it.
Yeah.
I'm a little more interested in the Penguin, which is the Batman spinoff that's coming to Max the day after Agatha on September 19th. Do you think you're going to watch that one?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try it. Hopefully I like it. I love Colin Farrell. Definitely one of my favorite actors. And I know it's a hot take. I didn't love the Batman, but I loved the Penguin in the Batman. So things were really good. I thought Robert Pattinson was great. That wasn't my issue. It was just the movie. But I thought the Penguin scenes were like the best part. So I'm going to check it out for sure and not get my hopes up too high, but I think it has potential.
Yeah, I feel like you definitely hit my thoughts as well. I enjoyed the Batman. I haven't rewatched the Batman since I saw it in theaters, which kind of, it is long, and it's a pretty dark, dreary movie. I like Matt Reeves a lot, the director. Yes. Apes. You know, Apes. Yeah, Rise? I always get my Apes mixed up. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is like the one I always think of where I'm like, Matt Reeves, even if I didn't love you, your next movies as much, you can do no wrong because you made that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will definitely be at least trying the Penguin. I thought Colin Farrell was like, not that I ever expect him to be bad, but you just don't know what to expect when you hear an actor like that is cast in a role like that, where they're going to be like unrecognizable. Like, what are they going to bring to it? And I thought I agree with you. His scenes were some of my favorite parts of the Batman. So like, sure. I will totally try the Penguin spinoff. And the only other show I wanted to mention, which is a ways out, but November. So like, put it out there on people's radar, because we haven't talked about a lot of sci-fi stuff yet. Dune Prophecy is coming out this fall. That is the Dune spinoff. That is, it's based on, I think, Sisterhood of Dune is the book by Frank Herbert's son, Brian Herbert, and Kevin J. Anderson. Gotcha. And it's basically like the rise of the Bene Gesserit witches. Yeah. So that should be interesting. And that's out in November. We don't have an actual date for it yet.
Yeah.
So
I'll try that one for sure.
Yeah. Cool. So this, what do you think of that Max is doing this with these spinoffs? Cause like both of those are, you know, movie franchises that Warner Brothers has, or I think Legendary. I think Legendary might be Dune. But regardless, that are now getting Max series spinoffs. How do you feel about that as like a strategy?
I mean, at the end of the day, if they're good shows, I don't really care. If they're bad shows, then it's going to be like, ugh, it's such a cash grab. Why did they do that? But I think it's okay if they actually put time and like hire good people to make them and their quality shows. And like, sure, why not? I do fear, I know with the Dune stuff, it's like we have the main movies and that's about it for now. With the DC stuff, it does worry me of like going into the Marvel sphere of like, you have to watch this show to understand this movie, to understand that, like none of that, please. From I guess where we are right now, I think it's okay.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. And I think it's interesting because Dune Prophecy and The Penguin are like polar opposites in that respect. So The Penguin is like bridge material for the Batman 2. So it is like, I feel like you are going to have to watch that to fully get the second Batman movie when it comes out. But Dune Prophecy is like thousands of years removed. It's not part of the main narrative at all. So I hope they don't make it lean on the original movies too much, because it shouldn't need to.
Yeah, I think the worst thing for Dune would be if the show comes out and it's not really good, but it does numbers. So then they do a ton more that are still not good, but someone's watching them. We're watching them because of course we are.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Totally agree with that. But yeah, so those are some of the things coming out in the next couple months. But the next couple months are not today. They are not right now. So now we are at the point in the show where I want to ask all of you out there and you, Natalie, what are we watching / reading / consuming in the mediascape? What have you been enjoying lately?
Good question. I know I was talking to you yesterday about just like I'm rewatching. I'll always rewatching The Office. I've been watching older movies that I haven't gotten the chance to see. And I'm watching Industry. I love this show so much.
Kit Harington.
Yes. I know Dan talked about it last week. We both talked about it like 2 weeks in a row, so I won't hash on it too much.
Nice.
I do love Industry. I think it's a really good show. So people should watch it if they're interested.
Industry's getting a big push this season. HBO put it in the House of the Dragon time slot. It's clearly like season 3, trying to get more people on board. So, Bankers is not an easy thing to sell. It either is a very easy thing to sell for people or not, or an extremely difficult thing, like the exciting world of high finance bankers. But I'm intrigued. They're definitely starting to make me curious with a lot of the marketing and stuff. So might need to check that out, especially since you and Dan both seem to be liking it.
Yeah. It's similar with Succession. Like if I describe Succession to like any of my friends, it's like, that sounds so boring, but it's like, totally. No, I promise it's crazy.
Totally. Yeah. Totally on point. That feels like a really good compare. Even not having seen Industry, that feels like a good comparison. The stuff I have been watching, reading, etc., I'm about to start this book that I'm very excited for, The Gods Below. So this is the new book from Andrea Stewart. She wrote The Bone Shard Daughter, which was like a kind of like an Avatar The Last Airbender type fantasy series with like elemental magic, really fun animal companions. But this is a totally different world, totally different series. It's out, I think, on September 3rd. I just got that in the mail like yesterday. So very excited to start that. Beyond that, I watched I randomly watched last night, a 2016 sci-fi movie that is currently like charting on Amazon called Passengers. Have you heard of this movie?
I remember when it came out, but I've never seen it.
Okay, so Passengers it's such an interesting movie to me because I really enjoyed it. And mm-hmm. I spent about half the movie shouting at the TV being like, this is the creepiest shit ever. I don't support this. So I'm going to spoil one of the twists of the movie here because this movie's been out a while. It's in the trailers. So like I knew this twist going into it. So I don't think it detracts really from the movie for people to know this twist is coming. So basically the movie is about Chris Pratt is this person who wakes up on an interstellar ship that is taking people to a colony planet. His pod malfunctions. He's the only person that wakes up and he's got 90 years until he gets there. Like he will live to old age before he arrives. And what does he do?
Yeah.
And eventually, after struggling quite a lot with it, he decides to wake up another person who is Jennifer Lawrence. And then there's a romance and there's a very creepy element to it where it's like he basically condemned her to dying on this ship because he woke her up. And how do you reconcile that? And so this movie got really bad reviews when it came out. I was reading about it this morning and a lot of people hated it because of that, because like that's a really creepy setup, right? And like Chris Pratt plays it creepy, so like they obviously knew what they were doing. That's for me, that's what made the movie work. Was that like they knew the points they were making were naughty and complicated, naughty with a K, not naughty, complicated, and like should make you think and be difficult to parse through. And the ending really stuck the landing in a way that I think makes the movie work. I think if they made one choice slightly differently at the end, the movie would have been, I would have hated it. But they managed to just barely walk that line in a good enough way where it's like, you get to the end and it's like, did I want to root for them? It feels real bad and dirty to root for them. But also this movie played it off in such a way that I believe where they ended up. I've been thinking about it all day, this movie. So I think it is really worth the watch. It's like a 90-minute sci-fi movie. It's got really cool sets, some really interesting ideas in it. And I think part of the issue was the studio didn't know how to market it because they were like, it's a romance. And it's like, it's not really a straight romance. And if you look at it that way, I totally get why people hate it. Because it is like, you know, like good sci-fi where it's asking you difficult questions and then being like, figure out how you feel about it, you know? So
okay, that's interesting. Yeah, maybe I'll check it out. I am on this, like, that's what I'm saying, like older movies. I'm just on this kick of going on Prime and being like, I've heard of this, never seen it. Like, might as well check it out. I remember when it came out and I didn't watch it. I remember it having bad reviews and I remember it being marketed like this is a sweet romance.
Not at all. You know?
So, yeah.
I was reading that like half of the marketing was either like, this is a sweet romance in space, or this is an action space blockbuster. And like, it's not really either of those, which to me is like, they really didn't know how to convey what this movie was. Cause like, it feels like a good sci-fi book where it's just, you know, there are no easy answers. Like the decision Chris Pratt's character makes, awful, full stop, awful decision.
Yeah.
But a whole idea of the movie is multiple characters being put into situations that were beyond their control. Not his decision, but like she didn't get a say in her situation. So like, and then what do they do with that is kind of what it comes back around to. And I thought it was really an interesting film. So one other movie, I know we're pushing time, but I can't, you and I have like, we've been like ships in the night with this podcast where this movie has come out that we both had a lot of opinions about. We just haven't had a chance to talk about it. So I need to ask you, Alien Romulus, what did you think of it?
I am so conflicted. I think overall, I loved it. It feels weird to say I loved it because I also hate it. One part about it, which I know we've talked about. But yeah, I think from the standpoint of the cinematography, the practical effects, the direction, the acting, I thought it was really great. I thought that the action started pretty fast. Like, they didn't waste a lot of time on exposition, which was good. And I love Fede Alvarez, was already a big fan of his. And I thought he did a really, really great job. And I love Kaylee Spaney.
Yeah, she was awesome. David Johnson, too.
Yeah, and he's an industry.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, to get you to watch, he is an industry. So yeah, I thought it was great. There were a lot of shocking moments, great horror moments. Like, I didn't think it was scary, but that's also just, I don't think anything's scary. So it's not, I'm not a good guy.
You're desensitized.
Yeah, but it was thoroughly entertaining. Loved seeing it in a theater. We'll probably try to see it in theaters again.
Yeah.
Because watching it at home is just never the same. But totally. I think we can, I mean, it's been out for almost 2 weeks now. We can talk about the terrible thing, which is that they brought back through a mixture of AI and some other digital, however they do it. They brought back Ian Holm, like his likeness, at least, not the character.
Yes.
And I hate it.
Yeah.
And for listeners too, the actor has passed away. That's the bit that I hate.
Yeah. And I think that is really fair. So I totally agree with you. That was like the one thing.
Yeah.
That really, I thought the movie, I really enjoyed it. I thought the atmosphere was spooky and great. Yeah. It didn't terrify me quite as much. I agree with that. Where like, I've seen a lot of these movies, so it does take a lot to like really scare me with an alien movie. Mm-hmm. I thought it struck the balance well, but I wasn't, you know, like hiding my face and stuff watching it or anything. But Ian Holm, for listeners who might not know Ian Holm, he played the character Ash in the original Alien movie. And it came out like 2/3 of the way through the movie that he was an android who was working for the company that was the antagonist of the movie, Weyland-Yutani. So this is a different android with, like you said, Natalie, Ian Holm's likeness.
Yeah. And
I really hated it too, because Ian Holm died a couple of years ago. He's also Bilbo Baggins in the Lord of the Rings movies. And it just feels weird to bring an actor like that back through digital necromancy to play a part in a movie like this. And I, reading about it after the fact, I've since cooled on it a little bit, because like Fede Alvarez talked about how it really came from a place of like, deciding what face would be cool to have on that android, and how Ian Holm was the one android from the series that never did get brought back. So kind of honoring his original character, and how his family was very excited and on board with it and thought that it was almost kind of giving him closure, because he was disappointed he didn't get more offers like late in his life, Ian Holm. Yeah. So in all those ways, I think it I've come around to it, and also hearing about the actual making of it, because apparently like 90% of what they did was practical with like a prosthetic android half body on set. And a lot of the AI and digital stuff was like making the eyes work right and the lips work right. But like the actual thing was there on set, that with his face and everything, which is really creepy. Yeah, I think ultimately it still is the one real black mark against the movie for me, because it was distracting. Because every time he's on screen, I just thought, does this work for me or doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that to me means that it didn't, because I want to be thinking about the movie, not, the ethics of Ian Holm being in the movie.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I think even if like it does feel a lot better that, you know, his widower said, you know, what you just said, and that the family approved of it and things like that. But even if it was from a good place, it just feels like clinging on to the IP and like clinging on to the fan service and like just too much. Like, I understand that a lot of people also just had critiques about the movie overall because of the fan service. Which like agreed to an extent, but it didn't bother me as much as this. That
same.
It's just like, can it just live alone a little bit on its own as a movie? It's just I don't like it. And I didn't think it looked good. So sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
I think that's fair. I think it's a far cry. It's interesting. They built this prosthetic thing and they did all this stuff to make the face work. But like, so I rewatched the original Alien the other day. There is a really iconic scene with Ian Holm where it's after his head gets knocked off of his body. So they have the corpse body of the android next to him. And then his head is lying on the table next to it. And the way they did it was with a cool cut where it showed this prosthetic head. And then there's a quick cut. And Ian Holm's like, his body is below the table. So it's still his act. He's actually there performing the scene. They just shot it in such a smart way that you can't quite tell that it's, you know, it hides the cut basically. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bring back more stuff like that. And I think for the most part, this movie did a lot of that. Like Fede Alvarez talked about how much of this stuff on the screen was like, actually there on the screen, like the big gross creature at the end, actually there on screen. They actually made that thing and had a 7 foot tall dude who's a basketball player play this creature and all that kind of stuff. So like they did a lot of practical stuff. That was just the one thing that kind of knocked it from like an A plus movie to like an A minus movie for me a little bit. It's still the best Alien we've gotten in a long, long time though.
Yeah, I agree. I still really, really liked it. And I think it's sad that now, like, kind of the reception of this movie is that, like, it's not a practical effects movie because of it. And it's like, no.
And it totally is.
Yeah, they're so good in it. But this is obviously tainting it a lot for people, including me. But it's not going to ruin the movie. It won't ruin it.
Yeah, totally. And it is a resounding success at this point. Alien Romulus was made on an $80 million budget. It has already made over $225 million at the global box office. So it's looking good for Alien right now. Definitely doing really well. So one last question from the chat, and then I know we're pushing time, so we got to get into the lightning round. Nicole asks, do I need to watch the other Aliens to follow this one or no? What would you say to that?
I feel like watching the first one is good. If you there's a lot of them. So if you don't want to watch all of them, I think the first one, I think if you're just going and haven't seen them, you'll still understand what's going on. It just won't feel as, you won't feel as connected, but you can still follow what's going on in the movie.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, this movie really stands on its own, and it is set after the first movie. So there's like a 50-year time gap between the first and second Alien movies. And this movie is set in that gap. So you don't need to really have seen any of the other movies. Mm-hmm. The first one is nice because, you know, that's where it all started. And there are a lot of references like in the set, in the design and things like that, that it is, you know, if you've seen the first one, you're going to really appreciate the way they recreated this like retro 70s, but still future environment. But I wouldn't say they're required viewing at all. Like anyone could go see this and understand what's happening.
Agreed.
This is not Marvel. but yeah. Okay. So that we do not keep everyone longer than we already have. You ready to do the lightning rounds?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. So the way this works for new listeners, we're going to go through all the news stories we didn't have time to. Dog Meadow is on the screen. Dog Meadow is going to help us with this. We're going to go through all of the stories we didn't have time to hit in the main show with giving our 20-second takes on them, or producer Richard will buzz us into infamy and shame. So let's get to it. You ready for your first one?
Yes.
Okay. So Jenna Ortega, speaking of, from Beetlejuice, she is pretty sure she auditioned to play the role of Chani in Dune.
Yeah, this was really interesting. I didn't read the interview where she said this, so I'm not sure about the pretty sure aspect, but yeah, that's interesting. I love her. I think she could do anything. I think Zendaya was great for the role. So I think it made sense. I loved her and Timothy together as well. But then also in my head, I'm like, what about Jenna and Timothy? What about like two great actresses? So that's fun.
Totally.
All right. Our next one, Star Trek Starfleet Academy show has begun production.
Yep, this is another Star Trek show that's coming out. It is, I believe, set mostly on Earth. It's about people going to Starfleet Academy. And yeah, it has begun production this week. It's got Paul Giamatti as a villain. Holly Hunter, I think, is one of the instructors at the school. And then a bunch of up-and-comers. Star Trek has had a lot of good shows lately, so I hope people like this one. Crazy sets is the one thing we know about it.
Nice.
I'm curious how you feel about this. So the Star Wars show, The Acolyte, was canceled last week. A fan petition to save it has already passed 54,000 signatures.
Yeah, that's nice. It's nice to have a petition that's not a remake the season or the show, like Game of Thrones. So that's nice. Yeah, I know. I think The Acolyte got middling reviews, but the people who did love it were very, very passionate about it. So I know it's really, really sad. I saw a lot of sad reactions to the cancellation online. So I don't know. I don't think Disney will save it, but that's nice. And I feel bad for the fans.
Yeah, totally. I kind of agree with you. Fingers crossed for them, though.
Yeah. All right. This is an exciting one. Dan Trachtenberg's next Predator movie, Badlands, which stars Elle Fanning, has reportedly started filming in New Zealand. We love New Zealand.
Yes. Love New Zealand. Love Predator. Love Dan Trachtenberg's Prey, which was the last Predator movie. That was excellent. So this is a reportedly because it is, they haven't announced this officially, but it came from a leaked casting notice that apparently they've started filming Badlands. It's set in the future. It stars Elle Fanning, potentially as like twin sisters, it sounds like. So waiting to hear more, but really excited that that could be gearing up.
I love Elle Fanning.
I'm not too familiar with her, but I love Dan Trachtenberg. So yeah, this sounds, there's a lot to love about that. Okay. So speaking of things starting production, The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, has started production on season 3. How are you feeling?
I haven't watched The Walking Dead since like season 3. I didn't even know that this spinoff was this far along. So that's exciting for the Walking Dead fans. I feel like this is a franchise that obviously has gone on for so long, but the fans are just there and I never hear of it overstaying its welcome. Like people just love the character so much. So
yeah.
Good for you, Daryl Dixon.
Yeah, totally. It seems like that one has legs, that it's already onto its third season.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Our next one, Outlander author Diana Galbadon says the end of the show really won't resemble the end of the books.
Yep. So the deal with Outlander is, so Diana Galbadon said this recently, because basically Outlander is ending with season 8 and they will have like 3 books to cover and she hasn't even written the last one.
Right.
So they're essentially wrapping up the show. Before, she's given them an outline, she's given them bits of dialogue from her final book, but she's not done with it. So she's saying, like, to set expectations, it's going to be very different.
Game of Thrones.
It is. I'm getting flashbacks. But hopefully they, you know, Outlander has had a pretty consistent run, so hopefully they make it work. We'll see. Okay, so here's some Avatar news. James Cameron's Avatar. So actor Giovanni Ribisi has seen footage from Avatar 3 and is very excited about it, which pretty much means his character Parker Selfridge is coming back for it.
Yes, I'm very excited about this. Not necessarily the Parker Selfridge part of it, but I love Avatar so much. So I'm so hyped for the third one. I think I was a little nervous for the second one, but once that exceeded expectations, it's just I have full faith in this franchise. And I hope it makes a bajillion dollars.
Yeah, totally. If any franchise deserves to make a bajillion dollars, yeah. I feel like Avatar, they're putting in some crazy work on that series. Yes.
Agreed. And our last one, Emilia Clarke will star in a new Cold War spy thriller series called Pony on Peacock.
Yeah.
Series or thriller movie? I said series, but
I believe it is a series. Okay. So Peacock actually ordered this thing. They didn't even commission a pilot. They just ordered it straight to series. So hopefully that means they're confident about it. Because Peacock has had some hits and misses where they've bought rights to things and then not followed through. I'm thinking of you, Greenbone Saga. But it would be it's always nice to see Amelia Clark and stuff. So fingers crossed that that turns out being good.
Love her.
Yep. She can do no wrong. Our Khaleesi. But that is our show, everyone. So thank you so much for tuning in. Natalie, thanks for coming on today and talking about all this stuff. It's been a pleasure.
Of course. So much fun.
Yeah. And we are back here every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. in Central Time, and noon on the West Coast. And whatever time zone that works out for you, wherever you are in the world, because we love to see you guys in the chat from everywhere. Make sure to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Find us on Spotify or Google Podcasts. Wherever you listen to your podcast, we're there too. And of course, you can find articles from us every single day on winteriscoming.net. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we will catch you next week.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.